This is Radio Health Journal. I'm Nancy Benson. This week, how air pollution near refineries may threaten hundreds of thousands of their neighbors.
Over a two-week period, you saw benzene at levels that you're not supposed to be exposed to even for 10 hours without wearing respirators.
Breathing better air when Radio Health Journal returns.
I'm Reed Pence, the producer and host of Radio Health Journal. If you like listening to Radio Health Journal, you'll also like our sister show, Viewpoints, which covers a wide array of topics, from education to history to the environment. Here's a preview of what they're covering this week on Viewpoints.
We don't need more and more processed foods, much of which is getting dumped in the global south.
The pervasiveness of palm oil. Then,
I typically run maybe 60 to 80 miles a week, sometimes more than that, and I also do a lot of cross training.
The life of an ultramarathon runner. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
Listen to Radio Health Journal and Viewpoints on your favorite radio station, and subscribe and listen anytime on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Also, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Radio Health Journal.
Over the last decade or so, most of the attention we give to air pollution has been focused on greenhouse gases like carbon dioxide that accelerate climate change. Many other air pollutants have been dramatically reduced since the Clean Air Act of 1970, but some populations remain dangerously affected by air pollution. A study in the journal Science Advances shows that in general, people of color are exposed to higher levels of particulates than whites. And a report released the same day by the Environmental Integrity Project finds that benzene pollution levels exceed federal standards near more than a dozen refineries across the U.S.
There's a point when there's enough of that benzene accumulating at the property line of a refinery that people who live next door, and I mean literally next door, because there are a lot of people crowded up against these plants in neighborhoods that are primarily residents being people of color and with pretty high poverty rates. So you have to be concerned when those benzene levels rise.
That's Eric Schaefer, executive director of the Environmental Integrity Project and a former official with the Environmental Protection Agency. He says benzene is common to find in the air around refineries.
Benzene is found in oil and gasoline and other chemical products. And in the refining and production process, some of that gets released to the atmosphere. The problem for people living downwind is benzene is an especially nasty pollutant. It's a very well-known cancer-causing compound that can contribute to leukemia, compromising your immune system. It also makes smog. It can attack your respiratory system. So it's definitely something you want to avoid. And the law requires refiners to do as much as they can to limit their emissions because it is so hazardous.
In 2015, the EPA instituted a rule requiring refineries to install monitors on the perimeter of their properties to measure benzene in the air. Schaefer says the results weren't what the agency expected.
They didn't think more than one plant a year would have benzene concentrations above the action level. At the end of 2020, there were 13, and that's leaving out several more that, except for some loopholes, would have crossed that barrier. And maybe just to put it in scale, there are about 700,000 people living within 3 miles of those 13 plants where the benzene concentrations are above the action level.
But Schaefer says things may actually be worse than that. The EPA's action standards allow a year-long average of 9 micrograms of benzene per cubic meter of air. But short-term spikes can go much higher, and the EPA doesn't even look at that.
Short-term spikes are really alarming. And we had, for example, at the Pasadena refinery in the last quarter of 2019, in the fall of 2019, more than 500 micrograms picked up at one of the monitors along the fence line. If you get to those levels, the occupational safety health guidelines say you should be wearing respirators. In other words, aren't supposed to be exposed to those at all unless you have special equipment. And we've seen that at several other refineries as well. Wow, when you get levels that high, high enough where workers need to be wearing respirators, if I lived within a couple of miles of those very high benzene levels, a siren should go off, essentially, and people should be scrambling to fix the problem.
Schaefer says that refineries can also declare that the high benzene levels aren't their fault, that they're coming from somewhere else, like a nearby chemical plant, which isn't regulated the same way. So they don't have to do anything about it.
They may be right as far as all that coming from a next-door plant, but that answer shouldn't be enough for the EPA and for the state regulators. The real issue is, well, how much benzene are people being exposed to, no matter where it's coming from? And if it's not coming from the plant that reported it, then where the heck is it coming from? Find out and deal with the problem.
Schaefer characterizes the rules as squishier than he'd like, but says at least now the EPA can do something. Previously, high benzene levels wouldn't even have been discovered.
You're required to get the levels down within 45 days. If you haven't succeeded, you have to submit a written cleanup plan that EPA reviews and has the authority to say, looking at the cleanup plan, you haven't done enough. And EPA has done that in a couple of cases. There was a New Mexico refinery where the benzene levels were just sky high. They were 30 times the action level. An agency did get involved there, got the focus on open storage of liquids where you get a lot of vapor coming off the liquid and made those open storage containers get sealed. So that's the kind of authority EPA has through enforcement.
However, sealing open storage tanks is an easy fix compared to some of the remedies refineries might have to pursue. Even finding where the benzene is leaking from can be difficult.
I read that the piping wrapped around the old Philadelphia refinery, which has been closed now since 2019, if you stretched it out, would get all the way to Florida. You're looking at hundreds of miles of piping, tanks everywhere, in a lot of cases, some very, very old units mixed in with brand new ones. And there are just a lot of places for chemicals like benzene to escape. They can escape from wastewater treatment ponds. They can sneak out of oil tanks. They can sneak out of chemical tanks. There's also benzene tanks that store pure benzene.
Refineries have responded, saying they're working on the problem. But Schaefer says if the Biden administration really wants to pursue environmental justice, industrial pollution like this affecting underserved communities should be a priority. The rules established 6 years ago are just a start. You can find out more about the Environmental Integrity Project and all our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. Our studio producer is Jason Dickey. I'm Nancy Benson.
Radio Health Journal returns in just a moment.
Birds are chirping, flowers are blooming, and your allergy symptoms are knocking you out once again. If every year you dread warmer weather because you can't seem to get ahead of your allergy symptoms, and if you feel as though you've tried every medication in your local pharmacy, it may be time to see an allergist. Dr. Luz Fonisher, president of the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology, says sometimes over-the-counter medications just don't cut it.
Allergists are trained to work with you to get allergy and asthma symptoms under control. They can do testing to diagnose exactly what you're allergic to and also determine if treatments such as immunotherapy in the form of allergy shots or tablets might be effective. Allergists are also asthma specialists. Many people don't know that asthma is often connected to your allergies.
If your allergies are making you miserable and you need expert help, find an allergist near you. The American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology has an allergist locator on their website at acaai.org.
Cardiovascular or CV disease is the number one killer of adults in the U.S., and millions of people trying to reduce their risk of a heart attack or stroke may unknowingly be taking medications that are not proven nor FDA approved to reduce cardiovascular risk. Let's hear from cardiologist Dr. John Osborne.
Many people are unaware that after a failed outcome study, the FDA revoked the approval of fenofibrates when added to statins, as the risk outweighed the benefits to heart health. It's important to remember that statins, along with diet and exercise, can lower cardiovascular risk by about 25 to 35%. But persistent cardiovascular risk, which can lead to a life-threatening event, may remain. I would tell anyone still being prescribed phenofibrates, such as Tricor and Trilipix, with a statin, to talk to their doctor about FDA-approved therapies for cardiovascular risk reduction.
To learn more and get clear on the facts, visit itscleartomenow.com. Again, that's itscleartomenow.com.
COVID-19 vaccines are rolling out, and many Americans are looking forward to getting back to normal. However, chronic stress of the past year can impact memory, mood, and anxiety. So during June, Alzheimer's and Brain Awareness Month, the Alzheimer's Association reminds you to make brain health a priority. Beth Kallmeyer, Vice President of Care and Support for the Alzheimer's Association, has tips to restore mental well-being.
First, think about recommitting to brain-healthy basics, like regular exercise, a heart-healthy diet, and getting plenty of sleep. Try to unplug from technology every night. Do what you can to manage your own stress, especially if you're a caregiver for a person living with Alzheimer's or dementia. And return to normal at your own pace by taking small steps and setting boundaries.
Kallmeyer says it also helps the brain to help others by volunteering in your community. For example, by supporting the Alzheimer's Association's The Longest Day event, June 20th. Find out more about Alzheimer's and Brain Awareness Month at ALZ.org.
And that's Radio Health Journal for this week. Radio Health Journal is a production of MediaTrax Communications. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more. And check Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify for a library of past programs. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and information about our guests at RadioHealthJournal.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Radio Health Journal.
Coming up next week on Radio Health Journal.
Why did Julian pass away? That's the number one question I have, right? Because we don't have an answer yet.
The mysterious deaths of some 400 American children each year.
Then tonsil stones, a little problem that causes a big stink.
I just operated on a 46-year-old for tonsil stones, so they can come at any time.
All that and more on Radio Health Journal.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.